It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right, you're listening to CJM. I'm Big JD. Planning can make or break a smooth wedding day. Statistics Canada's latest report has shown that a steady increase in married couples, and weddings are big business, but what exactly goes into wedding planning? How early do you start? Can you do it alone with family? Should you hire a wedding planner, perhaps? And most importantly, what's the groom's role in all this? My guest this week is Rochelle Skippers, and Rochelle is a wedding planner. She heads the biannual Windsor Wedding Workshop, and she's also part of Jacques Skipper's photography team. Who better to talk weddings with? Please welcome Rochelle to You Talking to Me. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show. This is a big show we have planned here. You have the spring workshop coming up.
So a little bit about
that. You must
be
pretty busy. Yeah.
Yeah, we're very busy. Every year we run a show. It's called the Windsor's Wedding Workshop. And what the premise is that we teach brides how to plan themselves. So it's like a wedding show, but they come in and they have a full buffet dinner, and then we teach them how to plan their own wedding.
It differs quite a bit, I guess, than an expo or any of those things that go on, right?
Yeah, it's like you have
kind of
like
class.
50, yeah, exactly. Like you have 50 to 60 vendors that are around the room. They can go and meet all the vendors and stuff like that. But then we also have a segment where they're actually learning how to plan, which is really kind of cool because they can walk around and meet the vendors and collect information, but then when they leave, they actually know what to do and what to do to plan.
And how long have you been doing that, actually?
This is actually our 8th show.
Wow.
Yeah. So the brides have an amazing time. There's tons of food. We always give away $500 cash at the end of the night. Pelee Island always gives away wine tasting, and we have cupcakes. It's just a ton of fun for the brides.
Yeah, that sounds great. And while we're talking about you, a big part of your credentials has been a perfect day wedding and event planners. First of all, do you actually still do the planning?
Not as of now. Like we did it since 2007. Mm-hmm. We've planned and coordinated over 100 weddings. Just right now, I'm actually the full-time administrative assistant for Jacques Skipper's Photography. So my husband keeps me busy with about 30 weddings a year. So we do a wedding a week shooting. So right now we're just strictly helping brides and training them how to plan themselves.
Right. And yeah. I'm sure that you're pretty actively helping with the planning just because, and following your work ethic.
Yeah, I like to help them along and give them suggestions and vendor recommendations when they come for photography and just kind of help them along with their timeline and stuff. So that helps them a little bit.
And just out of curiosity.
Perk.
Yeah. And then how do you find, are brides really scrambling at the time they're putting all this together? Or do you find some of them are pretty calm and collected?
You have, I would say, about 50-50. I think a lot of women are A-type personality where they are born planners.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in their blood, right?
Yeah.
But then you'll have certain people where they're not as much like planners. So you're right. It's exactly that. They'll come to the wedding workshop because they're like, I don't know where to start. Like, what do I do first? There's so much to do. There's like 200 hours of tasks that they have to accomplish to plan a wedding.
Wow.
So it's a part-time job.
With planning, which I realize you don't really do that anymore, but and event planners. Did you plan other events as well, or were you primarily doing weddings?
Pretty much the wedding workshop. Mm-hmm. Like the wedding workshop is a huge event. It takes, a year to plan. You know, we got to get all the vendors in, and we have to, get all the brides to know about the event, promote it properly and that kind of thing, and mm-hmm. make sure we have people there because we do provide a full buffet dinner. Mm-hmm. So we have to get all those vendors lined up and stuff. So yeah, mainly we've planned over 100 weddings, but then events is mainly wedding workshop, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with the workshops, I want to add too that it's a few hours long, right? Like some of those expos, they last a couple of days, and it really takes a lot of time actually to not only prepare for these things, but I mean your time for a full weekend and whatnot. And it's mm-hmm. kind of nice that this is a few hours, and coupled with that training, it's
I think it's a win-win for the bride as well as mm-hmm. the vendor, because as a vendor, you know, you sometimes spend two entire days talking to brides and that kind of thing. But yeah, so it just kind of like condenses it. And it just gives them an opportunity to have a really awesome, fun night out, come and eat a ton of food, go visit all the vendors quickly in an hour and a half's time, and then, you know, have a ton of fun, learn how to plan, and then, you know, at the end of the night, wine, cupcakes, and a huge giveaway.
Yeah, a chance to win $500. Mm-hmm. Sweet. So my plan today is to discuss our way through the ABCs of weddings. And it gives me a chance to brush up on my ABCs too, because I haven't probably since kindergarten. So that's kind of neat. And I use them every day. I know that. But
nice.
So that way we can kind of cover all the areas of wedding planning, at least according to this list anyway. And I'm sure we'll veer off it. And I'm seriously thinking that this is going to be a two-part show perhaps. And Rochelle has stated that her schedule will allow her to be here next week. So I'm thinking that's going to happen. And we'll definitely know that by the end of the show. And we'll get a little deeper into some of these areas, of course, to discuss do's and don'ts, trends, and more importantly, get Rochelle's expert opinion in many of these areas that we'll touch on along the way. And so let's get right into things, starting with A. A is for alcohol. So if you can afford it, this particular list, which came from, do you actually have that web address? Because I know I sent you the link and I just wondered.
Yep. It's called hitched.co.uk.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And they had this list that I thought was a pretty neat idea, a good way to go about it. And then we can expand from there. So if you can afford it, use genuine champagne for toasts. Have a choice of red and white wines. And also remember, there are many people who don't drink alcohol. So, you know, for those that are driving, you need option for them. I can't say I ever saw a wedding that didn't have non-alcoholic beverages. And then as far as champagne, is there such a thing as non-genuine champagne? Or?
Yeah, you have, you know, of course, like it's kind of like wine, right? Like you have wine that costs maybe $9 or $8 a bottle, and then you have $28 a bottle, which can be quite costly if you have two bottles per table, right? So same thing with champagne. You could definitely use champagne that is a lot more expensive. I find a lot of brides, they like to use champagne more as a cocktail beverage for the guests, you know, arriving mm-hmm. into the hall. Sometimes they'll do champagne and strawberries and that kind of thing. Champagne during speeches, like you were saying, yeah, they do that sometimes. I have had brides in the past do that kind of thing. The only downfall is that your hall really has to know and really be aware that that's going to happen, because that's going to require a lot of manpower, which means that you're having dinner and then all of a sudden speeches are going to happen.
Right.
So now you're like, okay, everyone's got to get champagne, which means that everyone's got, you know, the table should be already set with the champagne glasses, but now you have to have all the service staff actually give it out before mm-hmm. it actually happens. So it requires a lot of manpower. As long as your hall knows, they can make it happen, right?
Right. See how Rochelle went right into wedding planning there.
So. She's kind of slipping that in, right? But you're right. For the non-drinkers, though, one of the things that I find that most people overlook, like in terms of you pay a fee, right? Like when you go to the hall, you pay like $5 to $8 per person. Mm-hmm. And that will give you like all your mixes, like your tomato juices, your Sprite,
right,
your
right,
Coke,
sure,
like
yeah.
all those things. So automatically when kids need milk, Sprite, Coke, stuff like that, like they will have that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I find a lot of brides will overlook the after dinner time non-alcoholic drinks. So the coffee and tea, usually after 7 or 8 o'clock, like 8 o'clock, usually dessert time, mm-hmm. is no longer available.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They just take it away, right? So that's the only thing that I would suggest, is make sure that you have a coffee station.
Yeah,
that you have a coffee station set up, because a lot of your older guests are going to want that coffee and tea after mm-hmm. 8 o'clock.
Let's move on to B. B is for breakfast. A nutritious breakfast is the best start for any bride and groom before their wedding. It'll help calm your stomach and nerves. They say go for cereal, toast, fruit, I guess something fairly nutritious for the day. Obviously, it can be a very stressful day, and so it must be important to eat something.
Yeah. What I usually suggest to the brides, like pick all that stuff up a day or two before. I suggest stuff that are very quick. Cereal, you got to, you know, have a bowl and a spoon and that kind of thing. But muffins and stuff that you can pick at quickly mm-hmm. and get ready and just kind of like eat and put down are really good things. One thing that's usually overlooked is not just the breakfast. I think that most people will overlook the ceremony in between the ceremony and the reception.
Oh, sure.
They don't realize how hungry they are going to be. Mm-hmm. And usually they haven't eaten very much for breakfast. So by the time the ceremony is over, they're on the way to go do pictures, and now they're doing like 2 hours of pictures and they're just starving. So what I usually recommend is have wraps, have sandwiches, have those kind of things so that you and your wedding party can eat on the way to pictures, because you do get very hungry.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I guess we'll move on to C. C is for cosmetics. Brides should wear makeup they feel comfortable in and shades that bring out the best in their outfit. Don't be pushed into using too much by beauty consultants wanting commission, I guess, from selling lots of makeup.
That might be a UK thing, because I know I saw that in your question thing, but I'm not sure it's so much an issue here in Windsor. You know, my husband being a photographer, we find a lot of brides are usually afraid to put makeup on. So it's really important just to even that skin tone.
Okay. I thought they might get carried away and put more on than they should.
No. Okay. It's so funny because even with engagement shoots or weddings, everyone is so afraid. They are so afraid it's going to be too dark. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the opposite. So I always just tell people, make sure you're dealing with really good makeup artists and hairstylists that actually specialize in weddings, because they're going to know about the dark circle. You know, the dark circles around your eyes, the shiny forehead, like things that are very challenging to fix in post-production.
Right.
And sure. Yeah, your photographer can do a lot of like fixing in post-production, you know, and Photoshop and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it is so time consuming, and it's not the same than taking the picture correctly the first time by having proper makeup, you know, even skin tone, getting rid of the dark circles. So don't be afraid to go too dark. You know, the trend right now is either you do a strong lip with the soft eyes, or you do a very strong smoky eye with a soft lip. So never both. You don't want like super red lips with dark, dark eyes, you know, it'll look like you're back in the 80s or something. You know?
Okay, remember that, ladies. D is for dress. And this is what all the guests have been waiting to see, I guess. It says, don't be tempted to go over the top, especially to impress or please relatives. Is it a long, difficult process usually for the brides to even find the perfect dress?
You know what? I always tell my brides, once you've booked your vendors and you start looking for your wedding dress, usually I tell them, once you book your vendors at 12 months and then you've got like a 2 month gap where you can kind of have some breathing room. So during those 2 months, it's the search for the dress. You might find your dress in the very first shot, but it might take you 8 weeks because you might have to go to multiple places. But I'm not so sure in Windsor it's such an issue in terms of wanting to impress and go over the top. Most brides in this area, I would say, usually stay in their budget when it comes to the dress. And we have a ton of really good bridal salons in Windsor that, you know, they're not just going to sell you what you want to hear, but they're actually going to help you find a dress for your body type. And that's what you want. You don't want to look at a dress and say, that's my dream dress I've dreamt of my whole life.
Sure.
But it might not be for you. If you have a short torso or a long torso, like, you have to go with your body type and what's going to look good in your body.
Right. E for entertainment. Most receptions are followed by a party. Think about your guests before you book a band or DJ, so Great Aunt Edna isn't forced to dance to techno. Does the entertainment generally please everyone? Is that something to look for in a DJ? You know, someone that could potentially please everybody if required, at least? Or
yes, definitely. This should definitely be communicated to your band or DJ at the time of your initial consultation. In the area, if you're hiring a professional local DJ or a band, that they're going to know, you know, they deal with weddings all the time. They know by 11 o'clock Aunt Edna's leaving, right? Yeah. So what ends up happening is you want to talk to the DJ or find a DJ that specializes in your family. So if you have like a lot of Italians, you might want to get a DJ that has a lot of Italian music,
sure,
or Lebanese music or whatever your family, you know, maybe polka is a huge thing in your family. So from, you know, 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock when Aunt Edna is still there, she's going to have a blast. But then at 11 o'clock, they'll switch gears a little bit and get some music more for the younger crowd and that kind of thing. And then everybody is happy.
Sounds good. F is for family. Excuse me. You love them dearly, but you haven't seen some of them for years. Take time to talk to everyone on the big day. It has to be tough to get around, I would imagine, for, you know, especially the bride and groom. But I would imagine also that's important. I like to also think that a videographer getting well wishes offers a little extra by allowing family members to talk to the bride and groom, especially if they haven't got around to them, which I would imagine they must always get around to everybody. Isn't that a part
it's
of the wedding?
It's tough sometimes.
Some of those
weddings
are big too.
Oh yeah. You've got like some weddings that are 400, 500, 600 people. That's going to be challenging where your receiving line comes into play, right? So then you get to personally greet every single person. But I mean, one of the things that some bride and grooms usually say they're going to do. And in the office, like I usually tell them, they'll say, I want a table hop during dinner and I want to go around and say hi to everyone. And
that, they don't actually hop from table to table.
No. All right. But, you know, and that can work for some couples. It's just that some couples, they want to make sure they're going to be able to eat. So it's going to be eat or table hop. It's not going to be both. You're going to have to choose, right? So always tell them, you just got to be aware that you're going to, if you table hop from table to table and greet everyone, you're just not going to be able to eat. So my suggestion is if you want to have more time with your guests, do your receiving line at the end of the ceremony as opposed to at the reception. And I don't know why, but out of my years of experience, you literally cut your receiving time in half. Mm-hmm. So say if you have 200 guests, it might take 45 minutes at the reception, but only take 20 minutes if you do it at the end of the ceremony because people are on their way out. And then if you get married at 1 and your cocktail hour is at 6, then you got a ton of time in between. You've already done your receiving line. So by the time you've done all your pictures, go enjoy the cocktail hour. Go have fun with your guests. So that's a way that I, you know, suggest you do a proper greeting of everyone at the receiving line, but then also go enjoy cocktail hour.
And there's that expert advice from Rochelle Skippers. And actually, give us your web addresses for the wedding workshop.
You can get us at www.weddingworkshop.ca.
Okay. And that's next one coming up in April, right?
April 2nd. Yeah. Okay. Yep. April 2nd is from 5 p.m. to 9:30 p.m.
And the photographer site?
JacquesPhotography.ca. That well? Yeah. So that's JacquesUES photography.ca.
.ca. Keeping it in the country here.
Absolutely.
G is for gifts. Make sure you give all your guests a list of wedding presents and double check there's a wide price range to choose from to save any embarrassment. Is the registry still a big thing or is giving money? What is it?
You know, that's a really good question. I saw that question on the list because it might be a UK thing, but in Canada is actually an etiquette faux pas to put your registry, yes, in your wedding invitation. So registry is not a wedding thing. It's more of a bridal shower thing. So you would, you know, give your little, you know, coupons of wherever you're registered would be in your bridal registry. And of course you want to give a huge, you know, price range so that people can give you gifts from $20 to $200, $300, $400 or whatever. But for the wedding itself, it's traditional to give money. So a lot of people that are not used to weddings, I get that question all the time. It is customary nowadays to give $100 per person that's attending. So if you and your husband are attending, give $200. And at least it covers the cost of you being there.
Okay.
So
H is for honeymoon. It says here not the most important part of a wedding. I'd probably beg to differ myself, but
yeah.
or a marriage. But getting away from it, everything, you know, with your new spouse would be a relief after a busy day, I guess. And book early and look out for special honeymoon offers at travel agents. Now, do some people actually go away to get married, just incorporate the honeymoon with the marriage, or is it, I would imagine we still primarily see, though, the wedding and then the honeymoon after?
That's a really good question because, believe it or not, this year, I know they're saying that destinations are on the decline, but I am telling you, I would say 40 to 50% of brides that I've been talking to just recently, a ton of them are going away. Just anticipating, because you will have people that say, you know what, I think we're going to do a destination wedding. And then all the family is against it, right? So they end up not doing it.
Yeah.
But a huge percentage is going away. The only thing I have to say for the honeymoon is I really agree with you. I think that it's a huge part of your marriage. You need to get away. You've done a year and a half, 2 years of planning. It's a lot of stress and it's a lot of back and forth and decisions and some couples arguing about money and all the decisions that have to be made. So go have fun. The only thing that I suggest is do not leave the day after your wedding or the night of your wedding because a lot of people do that. They finish, they have a 24-hour day, and then they go to bed, they hardly sleep, and then they get up for Mexico. Right. Like 3 hours later. Mm-hmm. Like give yourself 4 days, get everything kind of situated and then leave. And then that way you're not going to be so tired and stressed. And then you could enjoy yourself.
You're listening to You Talking to Me on CGM 99.1 FM, Redefining Radio in Windsor, Detroit. Rochelle Skippers with me today from Windsor's Wedding Workshop and Jacques Skippers Photography. Of course, we're talking weddings A to Z. And before we get back into it, we're at, I guess, the letter I. What months are generally prime wedding months? I know you have the workshop coming up in April, and that gets close, I guess, to when these things really kick into gear.
That is a really good question, because believe it or not, we shock a lot of people with that question. People think it's just like June and July, but Windsor has a very long summer. Mm-hmm. So weddings literally start in April, usually mid-April, and believe it or not, they go all the way through December.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? People are like, no, wait. Yeah, September and October are the most popular months.
Is there a reason to why somebody would actually book? I mean, are there so many places booked up? Or like, why would you book in November, December when, you know, it's going to be cold, it could be snowy, it could be slushy, it could be horrible out?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want your wedding at a, you know, why do they?
There's a couple reasons. Number one, like you said, there's only so many halls that can accommodate 400, 500, 600 people, right?
Sure,
so
Yeah. You're
going to have halls that are booked up, and then you just want to get married this year, for example. So maybe you're going to choose a November. The other thing is people that get married November, December, January like those winter wonderland weddings. So they like to incorporate that. The other thing is that June and July, as you know, in Windsor is so hot and humid that's why people like August, September, October, November. So in that way, they're not very hot. So believe it or not, August, September, October are the most popular months. But June and July are still popular because August, September, October are all booked up. Mm-hmm. So people have to get married in June and July.
Sure. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So we're on the letter I. I is for invites or invitations. These should be sent out at least 6 weeks before the wedding day, or at least that's what it says here. So people have time to reply. And don't forget to include the basic details of when and where the ceremony is. First of all, maybe you can tell us 6 weeks before the wedding. Is that...
No, I say it's not enough.
Yeah,
I agree. I say 2 months before. If you do have overseas, mm-hmm. 3 months before, right, to account for that. The RSVP date of when to ask your guest to give it back to you, mm-hmm. 1 month before.
Okay.
And the reason why is because you're going to be on week 3 weeks prior to the wedding. You're going to be chasing down all the people that have an RSVP'd.
Sure, so it's important that you get those back. Because,
yeah, exactly. And then so that on week 2, you can be doing your seating chart and giving your final numbers to your caterer, right?
And I wanted to ask you about home-printed invitations. Do you see much of that? Are people trying to cut corners in ways that where they can do things themselves? So maybe they're printing their own invitations, you know?
Yes. Yes. The bride that is very frugal and wants to save money is going to print her own invitation. She's going to find things on certain sites, or she's going to find special deals in the local area that have invitations on sale and print it. Not my suggestion, because unless you've done invitations before, mm-hmm. you don't realize how time consuming it actually is.
Sure. Okay.
So I always say get a person local that customizes invitations. Tell them I only want to spend this much per invitation. Tell mm-hmm. them your budget and they'll make it happen. And I always talk local. I love promoting local people.
Sure. Great. Yeah. And that's a great way for you to do that custom card that you want, rather than, you know, having to succumb to something that, you know, from a place and pick something that's already kind of pre-made template or whatever. And
absolutely.
Then actually have them printed professionally still as well.
Absolutely.
Very good. J
100%.
Is for jewelry. Brides should either wear their everyday items or simple matching pieces which complement their dress. Remember, the ring is the most important item, so other pieces of jewelry should not dominate. What are your thoughts on that? Are you thinking about the ring?
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, the ring is going to be the most important thing. The only time it gets tricky is if you have a piece of jewelry that's crucial to wear. So say, for example, it's been planned out that you're going to wear this piece of jewelry from your grandmother for years and years and years. That's where it gets a little tricky, because what you're going to do is you're going to pick your dress, you're going to pick your shoes, and then you're going to pick your jewelry to match, right?
Okay, yeah, right.
So what ends up happening is, you know, if you do have to have something that is crucial to wear, then you're going to have to switch it up. You're going to have to bring your jewelry to the dress shop and make sure that it complements it, right?
Is there any way to make that ring look bigger?
Sure, magnifying glass.
Okay.
For sure.
There's no tricks for that?
Hey, photography. We can do anything.
Wear smaller jewelry and a tighter dress.
There you go.
Let's see. We've got, I think we've got time for K. K is for kind advice. Family members excel in this department. Listen to what they have to say, but take everything with a pinch of salt. Remember, it's your day. Family members must all try to get their 2 cents in, I would imagine. So,
That is a good one.
Are there ways to kind of avoid that nicely without getting into family arguments before the wedding? And
yeah, you know what? There's only two times in your life, it's being pregnant and getting married, that you are just opening the door to have people's opinions. And I don't know why, but when you're getting married or you're pregnant, people are always going to tell you what they think. So yeah, you're going to have people that tell you their opinion, and that's fine. You know, it's just important that you and your spouse be really happy. It's your wedding. I know that sometimes certain family members are actually paying for the wedding. So you do have to get your opinion from maybe mom or dad or other family members that are contributing. Sure. But, you know, you definitely just keep everyone's opinion with a grain of salt and then make sure you and your spouse are happy in the end.
Speaking of being happy in the end, let's try and slip L in here. L is for laughter. Remember to enjoy the ceremony. Enjoy the ceremony. Yeah, a little laughter goes a long way to helping everyone relax. As my Uncle Milty once said, laughter is like an instant vacation. That's Milton Berle, of course.
Nice.
Not my real uncle. Weddings can be stressful. So with all the planning and everything, you want to enjoy that special day and not just run around.
Absolutely.
Crazily, I guess.
You know what? Absolutely. Just remember that all the people that are there to witness, they're there to witness the most beautiful day of your life, right? You're not putting on a show. So it doesn't have to be this serious thing of perfection, you know, that's going to make it beautiful. It's you both looking at each other, realizing what the day actually means, and people are going to be genuinely touched by that, right? So absolutely. My husband and I, we laughed a lot during our ceremony. So it's just really important that you choose the right officiant or pastor that's going to reflect both you and your groom.
Good.
So that can happen.
I'm still laughing now from my wedding. No, just kidding.
Nice.
It was great having you on the show. Obviously, we're going to do a part 2 because we got up to and including L, so we have a little ways to go. Thanks for being on the show,
right.
Rochelle Skippers.
Thank you for
and,
having me.
Give us the 2 website addresses again really
Absolutely.
Quick.
Absolutely. The Windsor's Wedding Workshop is www.weddingworkshop.ca. And for photography, Jacques Skippers Photography is Jacques, JAQUES, photography.ca.
All right, great stuff. Join me again next week with Rochelle Skippers on You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD, and you're listening to CJM 99.1 FM, Redefining Radio in Windsor and Detroit. And have a great week.